You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
I'll go ahead and hit record, and whenever you're ready, just go ahead and lead us in.
Well, hi, everybody. It's me, Joe Thrashenkill, and you're listening to the Toilet of Hell radio show. Yay!
Yeah.
Yes!
You heard two voices there, so we'll go ahead and do this. We got to Jordan. Jordan, how you doing?
Happy Father's Day, everyone. Where's my cake?
Are you a father now?
No, it's a Creepshow reference.
Oh, it's been a while since I've seen that one. Classic Father's Day watching, I reckon. And we got Brenna side. Brenna, how you doing?
Maybe this is the Father's Day I finally get to meet him.
Damn, went out for a pack of smokes, never returned.
Yeah, he got into his, 1972 Cadillac DeVille and rode off into the sunset. You know, he tussled my hair, just drove off.
But of course, by the time that people listen to this, it will no longer be Father's Day. It is Father's Day right now. Yeah. So I hope that, you know, by the time you listen to this episode, you were celebrating your father's absentee or otherwise.
Yes.
And for this episode, though, that's we just marked it off the list. The Father's Day segment, it's over.
If you realize it is Father's Day right now, it is actually now Wednesday. You're already too late. Your father is mad at you.
Or he's forgotten because he found a new thing to fuck around with on the grill.
Right. I bet his new family doesn't forget.
Damn. Harsh. Shouts out to the dads out there. We see you. We hear you. You're listening to metal podcasts.
I hope it's a good day for Devil Daddy.
Oh, fuck you, dude.
Happy Father's Day to Devil Daddy.
You can't just, like, bring that up on the show. That's going to throw a kink into the works. We've got a really tightly wound machine here. I don't want the former Five Finger Death Punch drummer, like, shitting up the works.
Just sitting on his couch in full makeup, drinking a beer.
Oh, he's sober now. He's just a dirtbag in every other regard in his life. So we got a lot of things that we're going to get to on this episode. And it's all pretty wild stuff today. Before we get into that, like, maybe we should lighten things slightly. Like, Jordan, how are you? What have you been up to?
A whole bunch of nothing, really. Just still working from home. Now it's just a lot hotter and sweatier. And just kind of trying to avoid going out as much as possible, despite what it feels like no one else is doing anymore.
Put on the mask. You'll probably be fine, man.
Oh, yeah, I have the mask, but you still don't want to be around people, especially if, like, you have to go to a supermarket or some other place where there are people who are just walking around without masks, or even worse, they have a mask on, but it's pulled down, like, below their nose and mouth. Just like, what? I want to yell at these people, but I know there's nothing is going to happen. It's only going to devolve into possibly a fight, and just like, whatever. Just gonna go get my Cocoa Puffs somewhere else.
I tried to go to the gun store a couple of weeks ago, and it was packed, and nobody was wearing a mask. So I was like, "Yeah, fuck that." I turned around and left. And then I think it was Friday. The mayor of the city like put up a decree that all businesses must require that people wear a mask in their businesses, or they could lose their license. So they're actually taking it seriously now. So I felt comfortable standing around next to a bunch of chuds for an hour this weekend. It was good. They didn't complain as much as I thought they would.
Hard to complain when you're wheezing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So our numbers have spiked pretty significantly. That's not good. If you're in Florida or Arizona or Georgia, I assume that that's the same for you. Hey, in the Northeast, you're probably doing all right, right? Right, Brenna?
No.
No?
I don't think we're doing any better or worse. I think things are pretty much still even. We're like still – like people are talking about the second wave of COVID-19, and boys, we are still very much in the first wave. Didn't really go anywhere just because we got tired of it.
Hmm. Well, that sucks. I don't like that. Well, aside from, you know, trying to avoid getting sick and all that, how you been, Bruno?
Well, I after 4 months of constant applications and just like no calls back, I'm finally going to be going back to work this Monday. So this is the last day of my life in 2020 that I am unemployed.
So that's bittersweet, man.
Yeah.
On one hand, I'm glad that you got a job. That's the thing that you need. On the other hand, God, I fucking hate working.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to it either, and I have not been very motivated to do so. Because as everybody knows, there's been the extra $600 buff on top of any unemployment you've been getting. And that has been more money and likely will be more money than I've ever made in my entire life, just sitting all the way on my asshole on the couch watching whatever degenerate anime or Netflix special I felt like doing that that day. That was my job for the last 4 months.
You know, I would give you good marks on your performance review. But all good things must come to an end.
I know, I'm getting laid off from being lazy.
I think like those benefits are coming to an end soon, right?
They are. As far as I know, it's up until the end of July, which is a bummer because I don't get to squeeze the extra month out of it. But no, it's at least now I have like real health insurance, and I guess that's really it.
You got a place to go every day.
Yeah, I can like look at new people.
Well, fuck. This whole working thing, it's for the birds, I tell you.
It sucks, man. And I mean, one thing I can tell you is that it's more money than my last job paid. So it's more money than I've been paid before. But it's going to be second shift, at least at first. So what's going to happen is like my wife and I are just trying to figure out how we can strategize, being essentially ships passing in the night for like 5 days a week.
Oh, God.
She'll leave you some hot dogs to defrost in the sink and you'll be fine.
I understood that reference.
That's tough, man. That is tough and not good. I've never been good at second shift work because I don't do anything in the morning until I have to go to work. So it just wastes a day. Total waste a day.
Oh, yeah. And you can't really hang out with anybody.
No.
No. Everybody's at work.
Well, I'm glad you got a job, even though everything about it sucks.
Me too. Things are finally coming up, Breno.
There is so much happening in the world, even though we're ostensibly stuck at home. Jordan, do you want to start us off on one of these wild stories that's been happening?
It has been quite the past 2 weeks for creeps in the not just the music world, but also the pro wrestling world. I mean, geez, do you want to start with Franz from Attila?
Franz from Attila. Now, I feel like we've mentioned this guy a couple of times in the past, like how he's just a weird creep and he like beat up a teenager and, you know, generally just a loathsome kind of dude, right?
A scummy Warped Tour. Right guy. If you looked up Scumbag and Warped Tour together, his tattooed neck would be on it.
Well, I mean, I can look at the guy and say maybe he's not on the up and up, but I could be wrong. What's the story with him now?
This has been covered in a few different places, and this is just kind of odd. There's something called Dead Press, and their headline for this is Franz, parentheses Attila, responds to sexual misconduct allegations, and it ends the headline with an exclamation point, which is just an odd thing to do. I don't recall too many headlines having punctuation, specifically exclamation points. But the basic gist of this is that he has been accused of sexual assault and grooming an underage girl going back a few years ago, and the victim... you could read this story in Metal Injection, Metal Sucks for all the details, but she claims that Franz had manipulated her into sleeping with him, knowing that she was underage at the time. And Franz has responded to it basically by saying, "Bitch lied to me."
Wow.
What is like in the $9 water bottles they sell at Warped Tour that just makes these guys have to fuck 15-year-old girls and stuff?
I don't know, man. Like,
what is it about this specific segment of musical chud where this just has to always happen with these guys?
It probably has something to do with these guys being whatever, 22, 24 years old, having a modicum of success in being by young, impressionable women, girls, who idolize them and they take advantage of them. It's that power structure dynamic again.
That makes sense. I mean, it's almost Franz, like all the problems come back to just men.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to say that Franz is probably around our age at this point, right?
I think so, yeah.
Maybe a little bit older. So he's been making music for teenagers for a long time. That's his, you know, general audience because, you know, we're old and creaky and, you know, that shit sucks or whatever. But it seems like he's just really immersed himself in an audience of teens and he's just preying on them like some kind of, I don't know, predator.
What's the line from the movie? I keep getting older, but they stay the same age.
Yeah. Except, like, Matthew McConaughey, you know, even though he's, like, fucking creep in that movie, he's much more likable than Francis.
He's more engaging. You care more about Matthew McConaughey. Dazed and Confused, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
Richard
Linklater.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking gross, but I gotta say, like, is also totally unsurprising from that particular scene and that particular class of dude. Maybe this is just us being older and not really as involved in that kind of scene, but I guess I kind of expect it out of those guys, even though it's fucked up and, you know, illegal and, you know, horrific from a moral standpoint. Like, I expect these Warped Tour guys to all be huge fucking scumbags.
Oh, it's like a meme at this point.
It fits in with the pattern. This isn't the first time we've heard about someone from a band that has performed on Warped Tour multiple times doing this. I mean, Brand New was another big one. And just this week, another band, Austin Carlisle, the vocalist, former vocalist of Attack Attack and of Mice and Men, was also accused, I think, by multiple women. And this story came about because a few years ago, Alternative Press, it was a magazine. I don't know if it still is, but let's just say it is. They had interviewed a lot of these women several years ago and then just spiked the story. And that came out this week as well.
Wait, why did they spike the story?
I'll try to see if I could find the statement from it, but it was just like, well, you know, we couldn't really, you know, you know.
Bad for business, you know.
That's mad shady, dude. I don't like that at all. But also, like, that, I guess that's also expected that, like, the industry would try to protect somebody that, you know, does numbers for their press. That's also expected and completely disgusting. So, I don't know, man. This sucks. This sucks a lot. And I feel like, because, you know, we're dudes and we're in our 30s, like, we're not exactly... we would, you know, in any kind of structure, we would be the predators in this kind of situation. So I guess it's easier for us to say, like, oh, of course these guys are creeps. Of course they're going to try to prey on children. And I think that, I don't know, if it's harder to try to get that message out there to a younger woman who it's like, I don't know how to communicate. Like, you cannot trust these scumbags in their 20s and 30s.
So a little more detail to this. It was Alternative Press had recently put out an article about Carlisle talking about how he's like turned himself over to Jesus and he's big into Jesus now after leaving his band and having his medical issues. And people went, what about all this other stuff? And when it kind of came to light that they spiked the story, they tweeted out, for legal purposes regarding the Austin Carlisle accusations, the story couldn't be run as it was told. as a female-led LGBTQ plus editorial staff, we're going to reopen this and find the answers you're looking for. We do not condone any of the accusations, and this story will be heard. A little late for that, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say so.
If you have to get called out, you fucked up.
Right.
That is the general rule of thumb. Yeah, yeah.
It's like if you don't do the right thing the first time, it doesn't count really the second time.
Without any real explanation, it was just like, we couldn't, but now we will.
I mean, now that somebody has, put their necks on the line and put it out there publicly, like they don't even need you anymore. So that's, profiles and courage and shit.
Too little too late, man. That's all it is. I'm interested in hearing more about the member from Attack Attack. But I actually did hear in either this week or the prior week, some new allegations had come out from one of the members of A Day to Remember. I think it was the bassist specifically. I don't know his name, but somebody had come forward about him being a nasty fucking creep to an underage girl.
And again, a Warped Tour band.
A Warped Tour band. Oh, the Warped Tour band.
I mean, all these guys are totally, totally interchangeable musically and visually. They all have the same shitty sparrow neck tattoo. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. I just don't let anybody in your life communicate with a fucking band member in one of these Warped Tour dudes. It's fucking these guys are untrustworthy. That's the thing. And what's kind of wild is though, is everybody knows this, of course, but it's not just like these Warped Tour guys. I mean, of course, these dudes are in a place with children all the time. Like, that's how they go out on the road and make their money. They're constantly around children, and a lot of these guys are creeps, and that's expected. But also, like, this week I was seeing this UCLA professor got outed on Twitter for a period of years. It appeared that he was preying on specifically 16, 17-year-old girls. I think this is notable because he's a self-described, like, neoliberal. I don't know if you run into these guys on Twitter. They've got the globe emoji in their profile names. And it's been a joke for a while that if the globe in your profile name is a sign that you're a supporter of Epstein. Jesus. So it's cross... cross business. It's everywhere. Like, these fucking creeps are everywhere, preying on children, man. I don't know what it is. Like, what can be done about these army of chomos?
I mean, I guess it's like the demographic of their fan base, and you kind of bring in that power play aspect again. You have all these impressionable young teenage girls who are so stoked to meet their hero, and then these dudes just play into that completely. And they manipulate these young ladies to, like, no ends of morality. Like, they don't care. And they know they have droves of fans that will defend them, and they can get away with it. Because there's never any proof for these sort of things. There's just a lot of corroborating statements, which apparently isn't enough.
I mean, for the most part, there's not really any consequences either. I mean, everybody heard the story about those Blood on the Dance Floor creeps years ago, right? I'm pretty sure they're still allowed to tour, Like, I don't think anybody spent a day in jail or any shit like that.
It's like, I don't know the details of anything that the Blood on the Dance Floor guys have done, but if I look at a photograph of them, I can pretty much figure it out myself.
Yeah. So,
I mean, Sin Queer and still in ministry, whatever, 4 or 5 months later after that story came out about him.
I mean, I guess that's the thing. If you're there are no consequences outside of, being socially shamed. And for a lot of these people, they have no fucking shame. It has no effect on them. I mean, the only thing you can really do is get the story out there and hope it doesn't happen to somebody else.
Right.
I mean, maybe you'll get kicked out of the band. Maybe charges will actually send you to jail. Like, you have to be caught in the act, apparently, like Trippy isn't from Static X.
But what sucks so hard is you see, specifically with Ministry, like how well dead silence just works, like from a PR perspective, how just no engagement, no response, locking down your profile, not talking to anybody, not making any statement or action or anything, just like how well it completely blows over. And you're going to have people just talking about and listening to Ministry like nothing happened sooner rather than later. It's almost like coming forward and doing the right thing is the wrong thing in these cases. When you have people that are, and groups that are so popular, you know, they get away with it. Enough people like you, it's like nothing matters. Who cares?
I think there is a recent story that like proves your point 100%, which is the return of Vector. Remember talking about this a while ago, that David DeSantis of Vector, like the video came out of him abusing his wife. She told her story about him being an abusive drunk and being a basically all around violent man baby. The other members of the band left when that came out. But guess what? They came back. And all that was said was like, we talked to David, we think everything's on the up and up, so we're going to make music. People brought up specific concerns about his behavior in the past towards his wife and his drinking in general. And you know what they did? Said nothing. They said absolutely nothing. Because I think they did a mental calculation, which said X number of people are disgusted with us and will not support us, and the rest of our fans don't give a shit. They'll buy whatever we put out. They'll wear our merch and not give a shit because they're, you know, apolitical or whatever. It was a cold calculation that silence was the right way to go. And as much as it pains me, they're probably right.
Yeah, there were people that were psyched as hell on their Facebook post that they were coming back.
Absolutely, just, there always will be. You know, people engage with these musicians musically alone, going to a show, listening to the music, and then that's it. They will like verbally not care about anything that they did or what kind of people they're supporting. They will tell you outright. We see it all the time in this genre. It's just how it is.
I think shame is such a powerful force in the world. Like, you know, just trying to avoid the appearance of impropriety, trying to do the right thing for fear of public shaming. And when somebody doesn't have that instinct, nothing affects them anymore. They're living on a cloud of idiocy where they can do whatever they want and accomplish whatever they want. I mean, from Warped Tour bands to like the highest realms of politics, shame is a huge detriment to your success.
Unless you're just quiet or ignore it, and then people just kind of, you know, move on. Say Justin Trudeau or Governor Northam from Virginia, who wore blackface multiple times, and it's just, well, Trudeau was reelected, Northam's still in power. It's just like, well, times have changed.
We're sorry. You know, it's just, and recent events kind of highlight where metal fans' priorities lie. I don't know if you guys caught that, like, Blake Judd from Nocmistium was essentially bullied completely out of music and put out this long diatribe about how he's like, that's it, I can't fucking take it anymore. I'm never making music under my own name again. Like, it's just been too much. I've just been dealing with too much bullshit online. And that's because he, like, ripped a couple guys off online and didn't give them the CDs they bought. You know? And people have been trying to, like, threaten this guy's life since. It has not stopped.
Yeah, I mean, where is the limit for how a musician's behavior will influence, you know, your support of them? And I think that's it exactly. When it affects me directly.
Exactly.
What about me?
So he ripped off some dudes. They didn't get their, yeah, whatever.
The box set.
Bullshit.
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, box set or whatever the fuck. And so they're like, you know, doxing him. They're sending him death threats. Trying to get
did they
PayPal.
Make a t-shirt?
They did. Crush Judd, yeah. Or something.
Yeah. because they were personally affected by behavior, and that is a bridge too far, mister.
This aggression will not stand, man.
That's all it is. Like, these folks don't fucking care if somebody they don't know is affected by bad behavior. It's like one of those tweets that's, you know, constantly pops up everywhere. Like, I don't know how to explain that you should care about other people and shit, but that's what it is, dude. You got to care about other people. I think that's kind of how we do good as a society and not bad.
And one of the least self-aware things I witness all the time, like specifically in the case of the young lady who came out about the A Day to Remember situation, is she was like dogpiled in a way that I don't think I've seen before, because A Day to Remember is, you got to understand, like a way bigger group than really anything we usually cover online here. So I saw the dogpile that she was absolutely getting from all of these chud lords just all over, like, oh, now that he's rich and famous, now you come up with some bullshit to try to make a buck off him and try to gain clout and everything else. And it's like, how do you not realize that you are proof? Like, you are the living proof that women don't make these kind of allegations lightly, because they know they're going to deal with motherfuckers like you.
I mean, I think some of the more unhinged reactions I saw from, like, big prominent pundits and journalists towards Tara Reid is proof that, like, if somebody's on your side or whatever, like, you're just the most vicious, vicious fucking person.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's kind of cool that we started off with a shitty Warped Tour band and the abusers within it, and we've expanded that to the entire realm and structures of geopolitics.
That's the point. That's why we're here.
I just, fuck, man. Like, I don't know how to process or deal with the depravity of powerful people, even if, you know, they're king of their little molehill, or, like, you know, rich and famous and world renowned, like, they get to abuse people with impunity, and then they have a little army backing them up, defending their actions. It's fucking crazy shit, man. I don't know. I don't really know how to conclude this thought. Somebody save me.
Fandom bad.
Yeah.
fucking kill your idols, man. Seriously, that's the answer. You don't owe anybody, like, a defense.
Those same people you're defending most likely wouldn't be defending you in the same situation.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They don't give a fuck about you. That's how it works. Oh, save me for myself, Jordan. Give me something else to think about.
Speaking of not giving a fuck, have you heard of Tommy Vexed?
Tommy Vexed again.
The baddest of wolves.
God damn it.
Why does this guy have a career?
Well, he performed a miracle, Jordan. Like, I'm sorry, Brenna, that only Jesus himself has done. He died and returned from the dead.
Oh, correct. That's true. I gotta give credit where it's due, you know.
I mean, he did also turn water into Monster Energy drink, too. That's pretty impressive.
The Feast of Kyle.
Yeah.
What did this fucking asshole do this time?
So a couple weeks ago, he put out a video on Instagram titled "What is Black Lives Matter?" And it was about a 6.5 video where he stated, quote, "After weeks of research and interviews," as soon as you hear research, you know he's full of shit. "After weeks of research and interviews with independent journalists, military personnel, entertainment industry professionals,
shut up,
a virologist, and many ex-Democrats, he..."
Wait. Okay, we're starting off with independent journalists, is that it?
That's what he says.
That's code word for pedophile. What's the next group he said he listened to?
I actually believe it's code word for Andy Ngo.
Also, Michael Tracy, those thick as thieves, these fucking freaks, fucking insane pedophiles. Okay, who else was he listening to?
Let's see, military personnel.
Yeah, cool.
Sure.
That's useful.
Entertainment industry professionals.
Pedophiles.
I was thinking like Zoltan Bathory.
The guys who killed Epstein. Okay, next.
A virologist.
I think that was my favorite so far.
Yeah, okay.
And many ex-Democrats.
Pedophiles.
He, in the video, he was asserting that racism is manufactured in the United States and that he has never actually experienced it.
Well, I mean, I strap on my hard hat every day and go down to the racism factory. So he's right there, of course.
And the thing is that this video that garnered a lot of attention because it was pretty out there is now gone. Oh. So we have to kind of rely on some other people's quotes and stuff like that. So if you head on over to his Instagram, it's just pictures of him without his shirt on and him hugging and kissing the National Guard. So unfortunately, at least right now, you can't see it. But one of the quotes here is, "There's a huge fucking problem going on where we have turned into citizens policing other citizens over a veil of racism that doesn't exist. I'm African American. I'm 38 years old. I've grown up in this country, and I have not experienced actual racism. I spent 20 years traveling through 48 states and how many countries? I don't know. Let's say 50 countries all over the world. We don't have a problem with race here. It's all manufactured."
What I wonder what he means by actual racism, because I've heard that used. Like, do they have to run in with like chemicals in the pool and just like, "Get out of here, you N-word"? Like, what has to happen?
I think in somewhat of a connection to our previous conversation, his actual racism, I would assume, is directed right at him to his face.
Well, because I mean, it happened to him, and he is, you know, the creme de la creme when it comes to black dudes. It's got to be him. You know, if it doesn't happen to him.
His own brother is locked up for life in the insanely brutal carceral state that primarily affects black men in this country. So, I mean, but again, I guess it's not him. It's his brother. So who gives a shit?
He's locked up for murder because he murdered Tommy, killed him.
Yeah, but he got better. Fuck.
He walked it off.
It got better. Oh, boy. Is there more?
So there is more because people went, what? he released like a second statement. The gist of it is that he was misunderstood, but here's the full quote. Because he was talking about conspiracy theories too. And if you head on over to his Twitter, and don't, there's a lot of, especially around like the late May, early June, lots of conspiracy theory stuff, lots of Antifa boo, lots of, you know, "These are paid Democrats." He's retweeting just a plethora of these big dummies, the Michelle Malkins of the world, his ding dong buddy, Phil That Remains, Zoltan Bathory, stuff like that, retweeting videos of people looting and talking about how it's all Antifa. He also retweeted someone who compared some of the rioting to Kristallnacht. So that's fun.
Okay.
A little bit of anti-Semitism conspiracy theories for you. That's great. But his statement said, "Conspiracy theory by definition is an idea that some covert but influential organization is responsible for a circumstance or event. On Monday, I shared a diagram of a theoretical scenario that was explained to me, which has been widely misunderstood as my beliefs and opinion. As per usual, people failed to read the disclaimer that I am in no way a political scientist." Actually, I am a political scientist, by the way. I have a degree in it, but that's neither here nor there. "I am in no way a political scientist or sociologist and have no authority on the subject, and that I am not claiming anything I expressed as truth. Predictably, certain media outlets misquoted and misrepresented my inquiries as opinions and lambasted me to serve their own purposes, making the video go viral. Much like Drew Brees, I never imagined offending anyone. As I stated the disclaimer, I'm not a professional. I just found this on the internet. Isn't it interesting?"
God damn it.
Yeah, after several conversations with fellow artists / thought leaders in the African-American community, I can see the insensitive timing of sharing such theories. And as I did state, all caps, in the video, systematic racism, all caps, is indeed a very real pandemic that affects the judicial, economic, healthcare, housing, and education systems in underserved Black communities. However, my personal experience of white Americans and, quote, white culture over the past 20 years has not been one of hateful bigotry, but unilateral acceptance. Maybe that's just, quote, heavy metal privilege, as our music community has a long history of condemning racism and fascism.
That's what we do.
Absolute nonsense.
Like, there is an entire genre dedicated solely to racism and fascism in heavy metal.
Yeah, we have a long segment before we finish the show about it.
I know it has been very hard for everyone in this country. I spent my own time with thousands of volunteers cleaning up after the riots. We all can see across the globe that things are wrong. We are all struggling to make sense of it. It's probably time to turn our attention to our families, our friends, and communities so we can rebuild ourselves and get back on with our normal lives again. Love you all and can't wait to see you when concerts start up again. And may God bless you and keep you till then. So, and if, like, you go onto his Instagram, there's a nice photo of him smiling and shaking hands with someone in full military gear.
Oh, my God. So did he basically admit to being one of those cucks that cleans BLM off of a Bank of America window?
And he also admitted to, like, just being a dumb shit and just posting whatever comes to his mind. And then when people called him out on it, he went, well, I'm not an expert. It's like when politicians claim that, like, climate change doesn't exist, and when people point to, like, actual facts, it's like, well, I'm not a scientist.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. No shit, you're not a scientist.
Wait, isn't Doc Coyle in his band?
So Doc Coyle is in his band and put out his own statement basically saying, yeah, I don't agree with any of this. But they're still in the same band together.
Yeah, of course. You
know, got to make that cheddar.
I mean, you know, this band is much bigger than anything anybody in the band has done before because people can't get enough of that zombie.
Yeah, you don't want to ruin the gravy train, so we probably have to sit him down and just be like, just keep it to yourself. Shut up. You're going to ruin this for all of us.
Seriously. I mean, it's that simple. You don't have to stop believing stupid things, but you do have to shut the fuck up.
Self-control is very important when it comes to having success.
That's the greatest part about these social media accounts that celebrities are allowed to have. I mean, back in the day, they used to have just filters of PR and publicists and everybody just kind of always hovering over every statement they make. And in some cases, that's still true. But, you know, most of the time you have your Ashton Kutchers, your J.K. Rowlings. They can just go on Twitter and make absolute just brilliant statements, as they oft do.
What is it about the UK that turns people into, like, just insane turfs?
Gummy-brained, absolute smooth-brained, just, I don't even know.
Because, like, that guy that did the fucking IT crowd, like, a couple of years ago, he devoted his entire Twitter presence to just doing this insane transphobic bit. And J.K. Rowling, who has literally billions of dollars, is now full on into doing the same transphobic bit. Like, is there something in the water that turns, like, rich, soft, white, like, English people into just hateful fucking bigots?
It's all that gravy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That smoky, awful flavor on everything. I assume they've just had so much practice in correcting people about what actual football is that they now are just inclined to correct us all on what actual gender is.
I feel like those two, like, they're the soft lads, though. They would call it, like, sportball or whatever.
Yeah.
They don't strike me as lads, you know. They're not into the foot or the pitch or whatever the fuck they say over there.
They're not Vinny Jones.
Yeah, whoever that is.
Former footballer who became an actor. He's been in a bunch of Guy Ritchie movies. You know, he was the Juggernaut.
Oh, was that the dad in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels?
I think he was Bullettooth.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know what you're talking about then.
The big guy who looks like he would be a footballer that would headbutt a Bobby.
Yes, exactly. You gotta You gotta headbutt a Bobby. That's what you gotta do. Straight across the channel.
It's a good name for an album.
I'm sure that some like English grind band did that.
Headbutt a Bobby.
I found this. Unless you guys want to close this segment, I'll start the new one.
Shut up, Tommy.
Yeah, shut the fuck up, Tommy. You fucking idiot.
Appropriate closing segment. I got a weird to this thing the other day. Do you guys know who Hendrik Mobus is?
Yes.
He's the guy who invented the strip, right?
Yeah, something like that. No, he's this weird little fucking skinny fat dork Nazi. He was most famous for this band called Absurd. The whole thing with the Absurd was like Hendrik and his brother and some other guy, and they were putting out what they called black metal, which is actually more appropriately like just, I don't know, fucking really shitty oi. Like, nobody knew how to play their instruments or anything like that. So when they were 17, they murdered a 15-year-old classmate, and they got popped for that, and then they couldn't fucking leave it alone. So after they got out of their baby stay in whatever nice jail they got in Germany, they like put out a demo that had the grave of the guy that they killed as the cover. And then they snuck into Auschwitz to take photos in the gas chambers with holding like Nazi flags that they brought with them. And because Germany is capable of shame, this shit is illegal over there. maybe something we could think about in terms of the many failings of this country and the images that represent it. Maybe we should stop allowing that kind of thing. Just a thought.
But what about my free peach?
Free peach.
My free peach.
But how can we know history if we don't have it right in front of our faces at all times?
I'm not saying I agree with it, Joe. I'm not saying I agree with it. I don't agree with it, but I will put my life on the line to defend his right to say it.
Well, this motherfucker ain't even American, so I don't have to do that shit. Fuck off, Kraut. Is Kraut offensive?
Not really. I hope so. Like, to fellow European white people, who cares?
Okay. I'm looking for a more offensive way to communicate this. And I'm not up to snuff on my slurs here.
Do you want to take a second and let's Google some slurs for Germans?
Schwanz.
Schwanz, okay. It's fucking
slurs for Germans. I got a new keyboard. It's extra
clicky. It's a mechanical, I can tell.
It sounds crispy.
Yeah, it's a good one. List of ethnic slurs by ethnicity. Let's jump to Germans. Boches, Hermans, the Huns. That's a good one. I like that one. That was an old
one. That was too cool.
Kraut, Jerry, Marmaladinger. Moff, Nazi, Peifke, and that's it.
Oh, I mean, Nazi is the most appropriate one, but just simply because he would describe himself as a Nazi.
Yeah. So, I think Marmaladinger is the one.
Yeah, that's a winner right there. I'm fucking Marmaladingers. No offense to the Marmaladingers that listen to this show. We love you and you're good.
Love you, Jerry's. Keep listening.
Yeah, you're not one of those Marmaladingers.
We need a new T-shirt with that on it.
Fuck Marmaladingers.
Anyway, so this motherfucker, like, he's basically put himself in and out of jail for most of his adult life for doing this dumb edgelord bullshit. He's notable for a number of things. He's the founder of Darker Than Black Records, which, if you're a casual black metal fan, you're probably aware of. They almost do exclusively NSBM shit. And, you know, this constant association with NSBM and with Nazis in Europe has kind of made him at times a fugitive. For a while there, he found himself a fugitive. He escaped to the United States, where he holed up in an old cabin in the woods and in West Virginia with William Luther Pierce. You guys ever hear that guy?
It screams dumbass to me. I feel like he's got some website I don't like.
Well, he did for a while. He was a he was the author of the Turner Diaries, which is one of the things that supposedly inspired Timothy McVeigh to blow up the Oklahoma to do the Oklahoma City bombing. He had a fucking enclave out in the woods in West Virginia where he had his group called the National Alliance, where he had his filthy fucking inbred fingers and all kinds of things for years. He was also he ran Resistance Records. Did you guys ever hear that one?
Yep.
So basically one of the most influential Nazis in America for shit like 30 years. Y'all ever see The Green Room?
Yes, good movie.
Great movie.
I still have to watch it.
It's a great movie. But essentially, like, Picard is playing a character very similar to William Luther Pierce, or if you saw American History X, Stacey Keach. Yes. Thank you.
Two great actors.
Yeah. Playing two great actors playing just a loathsome fucking shitbag. So he hit out with William Luther Pierce in the woods for a while, where they were working on some deals to distribute some of his This was, before it was, I guess, easier with the internet and shit to spread around your, really poorly recorded NSBM records. So he was distributing that shit here and helping Resistance Records spread their bullshit in Europe. There was, however, while he was hiding out in his bunker, some kind of disagreement over money that led to both Hendrik Mobus getting his ass beaten by the Nazis and then thrown over to the cops, who also beat his ass.
How does that keep happening? You got Varg and Euronymous, and now this. You guys just can't seem to settle it up.
Moving forward a little bit in history, we talked a bit about Asgard's Ray Festival in Ukraine, of course put on by Azov Battalion. Asgard's Ray was a name of an absurd record. Hendrik Mobus was influential in putting this together. He had close associations with the militant neo-Nazis in Ukraine and his Azov Battalion, as well as associations with American neo-Nazis Adam Waffen, who have killed people, which is an important thing to note. So are we all caught up here?
Yes.
Okay.
Will we ever be? Now
we can talk about the rumors that I've been seeing posted around the internet by aggrieved black metal Nazis. So, as you can imagine, if you are somebody that has been in and out of jail for most of your adult life for spreading fascist imagery or murder, you got some eyes on you, right? So the word is on the street right now that that our boy Hendrik has an upcoming trial, and that German authorities have flipped him to a snitch to try to save his own ass a little bit. So he's been engaging in some very interesting behaviors, such as getting online, pretending to be his own brother, and making public claims to selling NSBM materials in Germany, which is, of course, illegal. And here's where people got mad at him. He never delivered the records he sold.
Wow. Good callback.
What a monster.
Yeah. Everything is cyclical with these guys, right?
Yeah.
Everything before what you said was fine, but this is just, I can't allow it. Not delivering a cassette tape.
True monster.
So there is a wealth of information getting cataloged right now about some of his behaviors over the years on the boards and trying to find the exact moment when he became a snitch. And started trying to the claim that the Nazis have now is that he's an antifa in service of the government.
Well, I've seen him in the underground bunker with the rest of us, but I wasn't sure it was him.
I mean, you would know it. He's Dale Gribble looking ass.
Yeah, I thought those glasses were a little too metal framed and circular for our usual tastes.
But it is, I think it's fun to look at this from an outside observer. Of course, I hate all of these people. They're all dog shit to me. But to realize there is zero honor among Nazis, and they hate each other as much as we hate them.
Oh, I'm sure it's like a contest like anything.
What do you mean?
Like, who's the purest of the pure, you know? Like, who really belongs? Who's a poser, you know? I'm sure the discourse and the infighting is as bad as anything else.
The palest, shortest dick measuring contest in the world.
Thank you, Jordan. You always have you're a poet in the way that you can describe this better than anybody.
I paint with all the colors of the wind.
So I don't have much sympathy for, you know, the police or whatever at this moment, but I do feel a little bit of pity for whatever intelligence detail is assigned to working with fucking Hendrik Mobus right now. Like, he's smelling like spoiled bratwurst.
We told you to shower last time. It's common courtesy. It's common courtesy.
He really is the PA announcer kid from Wet Hot American Summer. Instead of describing the events of the movie, just yelling slurs to nobody.
Just typing them in all caps and all the text messages that this poor agent has to receive.
Oh, God. Poor bastard. So
having to sit through him talking about other black metal bands and like first wave black metal and second wave, and she's like, I don't care.
Right, who the real Nazis are and who the ones that are just posing to make a buck.
It's so overplayed, but like, I mean, it gets played because it's true, but I mean, you look at this motherfucker and you think, behold the glory of the white race. Like, just the worst example of a white person being a self-appointed white person savior.
I'm ready for the boogaloo.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because all of this shit is cyclical. All of the dirty militia bullshit we saw in service of like these Rahowa freaks, the racial holy war, whatever they were calling it in the 90s, they're back again, and they're lamer than ever, wearing fucking Hawaiian shirts.
They come up with a new name and the clothes are stupider, but this is the same song with a slightly different verse. Yeah, something like that.
20 years older and 20 years fatter.
Fuck. So true. Yeah, and I know that there's a lot of disinformation out there about the Boogaloo creeps, but I can assure you, if you've spent more than a moment online researching anything about guns, you encounter these people, and they're pretty clear about that what they want, which is a racial civil war. They may try to hide it for all of 10 seconds, but they drop the veil immediately because they're stupid.
I can't even wear a Hawaiian shirt to a protest anymore, man. It's like I'm a big fat guy in summer. This sucks.
Oh, man. I saw one of the Boog Boys in Austin at one of these protests. He just has his he looked like a mushroom, man.
Yeah, paint the picture for us. let's hear what, like, this guy looked like.
I'm talking of all of 4'10", just as wide as he was long, wearing the, you know, XXX Hawaiian shirt with the AR slung across his front. I mean, like, I look at this guy and I know that, like, you have bad intentions, but you're little and you seem jovial in a Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, and the best is like when that AR sling just hugs him in the right fold and just squeezes in that little pressure point of cotton and fat that just squishes right at that right section. And, you know, that's how they hold their weapon and themselves together here.
I would like to say, like, folks, if you're going out to the protest, which, you know, is good. I've been to a few myself. It's good and nice and all that. Wear your mask. You know, be safe. Maybe don't bring your phone and shit. If you see one of these guys in the Hawaiian shirts, just be safe, because if they're not openly carrying, the Hawaiian shirt is most useful because it's big and baggy, so you can more easily concealed carry. So watch out for that shit. Those guys are probably strapped, and you don't want to be near those fuckers. Okay.
You're just gonna need to wear a disclaimer on your Hawaiian shirts from now on, just like how old hardcore guys have to say they're a not racist skinhead.
They're sharps, right?
Yeah, you have to say something like, "Not racist. I'm just really hot, and this shirt is comfortable."
Right. You gotta wear the right color laces on your Doc Martens.
Yeah, there's got to be a pattern that says, I am not a boogaloo guy, I'm just a big fat party animal.
That's right.
Party's not the Nazi party.
But I fear that the beloved Hawaiian shirt has been co-opted, irrevocably at the moment. I don't know.
It hasn't. It's just, they had the fucking Perry Ellis shirt last year. Perry Ellis still sells that shit because they make enough money, I guess.
Well, that's a different variety of Nazi that wants the exact same thing. That's the yellow and black Perry Ellis is the proud boy.
Different flavor of dumbass, I know.
Yeah.
The mint chocolate chip of racism.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, if you want the same kind of flair, you know, you want a nice breathable button up that, you know, doesn't proclaim that you're possibly some kind of lone wolf racist terrorist. How about a thing that we haven't looked at in a while? The Dragon Ball Z button up.
I think those guys are probably one and the same, if I have to.
The Nazis have taken everything from you. They've taken Hawaiian shirts. They've taken anime shirts.
Yeah. Although those were popular among all my black geek friends, but I don't think I've ever met like a white dude with a chin beard and one of those bad boys that had politics I thought were really above board. Just worth pointing out. But we should probably come up with some sort of fashion that they can co-op next that we just don't like seeing.
Or they just go back to the original and start wearing the brown shirts.
It would make things a lot easier, guys. If you guys would come together, oh, maybe that's a bad thing. Maybe don't all come together and decide on a common set of ideals and tactics. It's probably better if they're factionalized than marginalized.
Yeah.
And looking dumb.
So we just have to deal with them 23 at a time, like any fucking weird dork club.
But yeah, I think that's a thing to be aware of. These guys are out there. They're freaks. They hate each other, which is good. Yeah. It's good that they hate each other.
And their music sucks.
All of it. It's terrible, man. Just fucking dog shit.
I think that the new fashion they should co-opt is just like a Bad Wolves t-shirt.
Yeah, man. Like, I mean, I already know if you're wearing a Bad Wolf shirt that I'm probably not going to like you. But if you could all come to the same agreement there, that really makes things easier for me to. the Warped Tour fashion ought to make a comeback specifically for these guys.
Yeah, like they all these big fat white dudes just have to wear like deathcore booty shorts.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love it. I think that's the move, man.
Just like two big, hairy, white sacks of laundry just hanging out either side.
Oh. Big pink hams.
But it's even funnier thinking of the Marmalade Dinger and Absurd wearing a Bad Wolves shirt.
Oh my god. Somebody Photoshop that for the the header on this one.
If you made it this far, we're at the 58-minute mark, and thank you for listening to the whole show. If you made it this far, please, please Photoshop that guy in a Bad Wolves t-shirt for our sake. Thank you.
That's probably about time for us then. So let's do our closing song.
Sure. It's going to be a good one this week. I promise it's not going to be any of the music we on this show. That's usually how I find our best track. So this is Breno. Thank you guys for tuning in. Like always, be sure to subscribe to the Patreon, and we will see you guys next week. Stay safe, stay metal, and take care.
Love you.
Bye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.